shall practice listening to the bell and breathe together 3 times. 3 sounds of the bells, 9 in breath and out breath. And then the children are invited to follow the Sandangyam and have the Dhamma talk somewhere outside. And the children will be invited to join us for walking meditation after the Dhamma talk. We'd like to have you with us walking, doing walking meditation. So please, this morning, you, after having breathed in and out with us, 3 sounds of the bell, you stand up and you bow to the Sangha, and then you go and practice with the young monks, nuns. Okay. Excellent. Now when you hear the small bell, you might like to stand up and make a bow to the Sangha before you go out. I mean, only the children. Have a good day. Turn around. Okay, thank you. Here, you go follow the 2 sisters. Good morning, dear friends. The practice and the teaching that we receive here was the practice and the teaching that people received during the time of the Buddha. It's very basic. It's very practical. There is no abstract things. There is a sutra called the Sutra on Mindful Breathing that all the monks and the nuns knew by heart. And then there is a text on how to practice mindfulness, recognizing what happens in the body, in our feelings, in our perceptions. And all these texts were learned by heart by many monks and nuns. So during this retreat, we use these basic texts, basic teaching and practice. In the Sutra on Mindful Breathing, the Buddha proposed 16 exercises that can take care of our body, our feelings, our perceptions, and so on. It's very practical. And I would like to go through some of these exercises because you want to put them into practice right away. And the first exercise is to recognize our in-breath as in-breath and to recognize our out-breath as an out-breath. So the in-out exercise. Breathing in, I know this is my in-breath. You just identify your in-breath as an in-breath. You recognize what is happening and what happens is you are breathing in. So breathing in, I know I am breathing in. And your mind focuses entirely on your in-breath. And when you breathe out, you focus your attention on your out-breath. There is no thinking. There is just awareness that out-breath is going on. So this is a kind of practice called simple recognition. You recognize what is going on. And what goes on now is one in-breath and one out-breath. And mindfulness as an energy is generated during the time you breathe in. And that energy of mindfulness allows you to recognize that an in-breath is taking place. And at the same time, the energy of concentration is born because you are concentrated only on your in-breath. So mindfulness and concentration are the two kinds of energy that can be generated during the time you breathe in. And you release everything else. You release the past, the future, your projects, your anger, and you become freer, much freer. It's just a few seconds, and you become a free person. So the first exercise is to identify your in-breath and your out-breath. It's called the in-out exercise. And when we sit on the bus, on the train, or while we drive our car, we might like to enjoy recognizing our in-breath and out-breath. And the practice can go very deep also. And it can bring insight. Because the three kinds of energies in meditation is mindfulness, concentration, and insight. Mindfulness, concentration always bring insight, and insight has the power to liberate, to transform. Suppose you breathe mindfully, you bring your mind home to your body, and during the time you breathe in, you establish yourself in the here and the now. And you can get the insight that you are alive. You are truly here, truly present in the here and the now. You are alive. To know that you are alive is already an insight, is already a kind of enlightenment, a kind of awakening. You are awake on the fact that you are there alive. And when you breathe out, you enjoy your being alive. So your out-breath may be a celebration of the fact that you are alive. So this very simple exercise can be a very deep practice, and it can bring joy and happiness right away in a few seconds. So the first exercise is in-out, recognizing in-breath and out-breath. The second exercise of mindful breathing is breathing in. I follow my in-breath from the beginning to the end. And this exercise is to follow your breath. The first one is to identify. The second one is to follow. Suppose this marker represents my in-breath. It begins here and ends here. It may last 3 or 4 seconds. And suppose this finger is my mind. With my mind, I follow my in-breath from the beginning to the end without any interruption. But during the 4 or 5 seconds, you are fully aware, mindful, and concentrated. You are really concentrated on your in-breath. So this helps cultivate more concentration. Breathing in, I follow my in-breath all the way through. There is mindfulness and concentration. Breathing out, I follow my out-breath all the way through. And all these, during all these seconds, mindfulness and concentration are cultivated. And it is enjoyable also. So the first is to recognize, the second is to follow. The third is to recognize your body. Breathing in, I'm aware of my whole body. During your in-breath, you bring your mind home to your body and you unify the two. When mind and body are together, you are truly there in the here and the now. In our daily life, very often our body is here, but our mind is in another direction, elsewhere. Very often our body is without our mind. Our mind is caught in our projects, in our anxiety, in our fear, in the future, in the past. The body is there, but the mind not there. So mindful breathing is to bring the mind home to the body. And this is the exercise helping us to do so. Breathing in, I am aware of my body. Between the mind and the body, there is something called the breathing, a kind of bridge that links body and mind. you are dispersed. Mind and body go in different directions. But the moment when you focus on your in-breath and breathe in mindfully, your mind and your body come together. And it takes only 1, 2, 3 seconds to bring the mind back to the body. And when mind and body are together, you are no longer lost in the past or in the future. You are established in the here and now, like a mirror. Very quick. It needs only 1, 2, 3 seconds. It's a kind of a resurrection. Because you are alive only when you are truly there in the here and now. And in order to be truly alive, fully present, one in-breath taken mindfully is enough. So it's a miracle. Breathing in, I'm aware of my whole body. Breathing out, my mind is with my body. I'm established in the here and the now. And the fourth exercise, the third is aware of body. And the fourth is to release the tension in the body. Breathing in, I release the tension in my body. When we are home to our body, we may notice that there is a tension and pain and stress. And we would like to do something to help the body. So we breathe in and allow the tension to go. Releasing the tension is the purpose of the fourth mindfulness, mindful breathing. The fourth exercise of mindful breathing. So with the third, we come home to our body. And the fourth, we release the tension in our body. So in a lying position, or sitting position, or walking meditation, with mindful breathing, we can always release tension in our body. And in the sutra of the contemplation of the body, in the body, the Buddha suggests that we release the tension by serving our body, different part of our body. He said, suppose a farmer goes up to the cellar and bring down a bag of seeds. And he opened one end of the bag and allow all the seeds in the bag to flow on the floor. And with eyes still in good condition, he recognized the seed of kidney beans, the seed of mung beans, the seed of corn, and recognize every kind of seed. So the practitioner does very much the same in a lying position or sitting position. He or she passes in review all the parts of his body. Breathing in, I'm aware of my eyes. Breathing out, I smile to my eyes. Breathing in, I'm aware of my heart. Breathing out, I smile to my heart. Breathing in, I am aware of my liver. Breathing out, I smile to my liver. And you smile to all parts of your body, from the top, from the head to the feet. It's like scanning your body. Not with X-ray, but the ray with the ray of mindfulness. And you become aware of every part of your body. And you send your energy of tenderness, of compassion to that part. And that is why there is breathing in, I'm aware of my eyes. Breathing out, I smile to my eyes. Breathing in, I am aware of my heart. Breathing out, I smile to my heart. And insight can come. Maybe it is the first time you pay attention to your heart. Your heart functions day and night in order to pump the blood and nourish all the cells. You have 5, 6, 7 hours to sleep, but your heart functions non-stop. And you might not have been very kind to your heart. You smoke, you drink alcohol, you stay up too late in the night. You have not been very kind to your heart. So now, breathing in, I'm aware of my heart. And my mindfulness and concentration allow me to see that I have not been very nice to my own heart. And that is why when I breathe out, I send my energy of love. Breathing out, I smile to my heart with compassion. And with that kind of awareness, enlightenment, I vow to eat, to drink, to live my life in such a way that will not give my heart a hard time. That is already a meditation on love and directed to your heart. So the Buddha proposed that we go from the top of our head and down to our heel and recognize every part of our body just by breathing in and out, scanning the body with mindfulness. And every time we feel we come to a place, a spot that is painful in the body, like the liver or the kidney, you stop, you pause, and to stay with that. And you breathe in and out and send the energy of kindness to that part. It's very healing. Of course, you might like to continue taking your medicine, but don't count on your medicine alone. Because the body has the capacity to heal itself only if we allow our body to do so. Release the tension and give your body the capacity to heal. This is very important. We know that animals in the forest, they still do that. Every time an animal is wounded, deeply wounded, it knows to stop and find a quiet place and lie down, because it knows that the only way to heal is to rest, because they don't have doctor, they don't have pharmacy, and so on. And they have that kind of wisdom. They know that they should not run after another animal. They know that they should not try to find something to eat. What they need is to find a quiet place and lay down until it heals. We humans, we used to have that kind of wisdom, but now we have lost. We don't know how to rest anymore and to allow our body to heal itself anymore. We allow fear, anger to take place, and we only rely on medicines. So it's very helpful to practice mindful breathing, to release the tension in the body, and to allow our body a chance to heal itself. It's very important. So the fourth exercise is to release the tension in the body. If we allowed the tension to be accumulated for too long in the body, all kind of disease will manifest. That is why it's very important that we know how to release the tension in the body. And each practitioner should master the art of releasing the tension. You are sitting on the bus, on the car, why don't you allow your body to relax? Why do you stay tight like that? So the practice of mindful breathing is very helpful. It allows ourselves to bring our mind home to our body and help us to release the tension. And as the tension is released, the pain in your body can be reduced. If you have chronic pain in your body, you can reduce that kind of pain just by allowing your body to have less tension. So walking from the parking lot to your office, why don't you walk relaxingly in order for each step to allow you to release some tension? That is the practice. And we have to train ourselves. Why do we have to run all the time? We can taste, we can be happy with every step, releasing and touching the wonders of life that are available in the here and the now. So the third exercise is to be aware of the body, and the fourth is to release the tension in the body. Release tension in body. With the fifth exercise, we learn how to bring, to generate a feeling of joy. This is recommended by the Buddha, because you need joy and happiness for nourishment. We may have pain and sorrow to transform, but if we are too weak, if we don't have enough joy and happiness, and then we may not be strong enough in order to handle the pain inside of us. It's like one person, one patient, before going through surgery, the doctor should know that she or he is strong enough to undergo the surgery. So we have to nourish, to learn the art of nourishing ourselves with feelings of joy and happiness before we are strong enough to handle the block of pain inside of us. And how to generate a feeling of joy? The Buddha proposed many ways. Using mindfulness, concentration, you can generate joy and happiness. The first method is to let go, leave, to release. Listen here. This is a joy. And this is happiness. And joy and happiness is born from letting go. There are many things we cannot let go. That is why joy and happiness is not possible. You believe that you cannot let go of that, because it's essential for your survival. But maybe it is the opposite, because you cannot. You think it is essential for your happiness, but it may be the opposite. It may be the main reason why you cannot be joyful and happy, and that is why we have to learn how to release. Suppose you have an idea of happiness. You believe that you can be happy only if you can get this or that. So you try your best in order to get this or that. You cannot be happy right now. You think that you can be only happy if you get that diploma, that position, and so on. And that's your idea. Or you may have the idea that if you can, you cannot be happy unless you can get rid of this or that. So all these are ideas. And it's because of that idea that you continue to suffer. And that is why it's very important to learn how to release the idea. This is a very deep practice. Generating joy and happiness by the practice of releasing is the first proposal by the Buddha. Suppose we live in a very noisy, polluted city like Los Angeles. And we want to get out. Saturday, Sunday, we want to get out. We want to go to the countryside, to the beach, to the countryside. But we cannot. We think that we cannot go because there are things that we have to do, so you stay. But that day, a friend came and said, well, you can postpone that until next week. Come with me. And that friend take you out of the city. It takes about 1 hour or more to get out of the city. And now you feel the breeze, the fresh air, the hills. And you are so happy, so joyful. And wow, and from where that joy has come? You are experiencing joy because you have been able to leave the city behind. So to release something is very important that joy and happiness become possible. And the practice of mindfulness and concentration help us to release. There are things to be released if we want happiness and joy to be possible. And the first thing to release is our idea of happiness. If you are not happy, it may be you have an idea about happiness. And if you can get rid of idea of that idea, happiness might come right away. The second element that can bring happiness is mindfulness. The word mindfulness in Chinese is composed of two parts. The above means the present moment, and the below means the spirit, the mind, the heart. Your mind go back to the present moment. That is called mindfulness. You are not caught in the past, in the future, elsewhere. It goes back to the here and the now and touch the wonders of life in the here and the now. So with the energy of mindfulness, you bring your mind home to your body, and when you are truly there, you recognize that happiness is possible now. There are so many conditions of happiness that are available already. You don't have to wait for another condition. More than enough. So mindfulness is one of the factors that bring joy, that bring happiness. And in the tradition of Buddhist practice, we know that mindfulness is a source of happiness. Because with mindfulness, we go home to the here and the now, and we recognize that we are very lucky, much luckier than many other people. And with these conditions of happiness available, we don't have to wait. We can be happy right here and right now. Just breathe in, or just make one step. Just open your eye in order to get in touch with the paradise of forms and colors around us. So happiness is possible with mindfulness. And concentration also is a source of happiness and joy. Suppose you are having a friend, and you cherish her presence, his presence. And you want to turn off television in order for you to focus entirely on your friend. If you allow the television on, and then your mind is dispersed, you have to pay attention to this and that and the other. So try to just focus your attention on just one thing. Like during the time of dinner, you turn off the TV in order to enjoy better the food on the table. And that is why concentration is also a source of happiness. And mindfulness and concentration, we don't have to go and buy in a supermarket. They don't sell these things. Mindfulness and concentration we have to generate by ourselves with the practice of mindful breathing, mindful walking, and so on. So it is an art of happiness, cultivating mindfulness, concentration, and the capacity of letting go. So when there is a feeling of joy, your mindfulness recognizes the existence of the feeling of joy so that you enjoy more. But if there is no feeling of joy, you can generate a feeling of joy just using releasing, practicing mindfulness and concentration to get in touch with the conditions of happiness that are already there. And the sixth exercise on mindful breathing is to generate a feeling of happiness. In Buddhism, we distinguish a little bit between joy and happiness. In joy, there is still some element of excitement. But in happiness, the excitement has died down and we are more calm. The image given is a person walking in a desert and he run out of water. He's very thirsty. And suddenly he saw an oasis in front of him. He knew that in half an hour he can arrive and he can take refuge in the shadow of the trees and he can drink water. So that is joy. And half an hour later, he was kneeling down and cup the water up and drink. That is happiness. And a good practitioner is someone who has the capacity of generating a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness, whenever she wants, just using mindfulness, concentration, and letting go. The seventh exercise of mindful breathing is to handle a feeling, a painful feeling. When a painful feeling arises, the practitioner knows how to recognize and to embrace it tenderly. If you are not a practitioner, and then when a painful feeling arises, we try to our best to run away. We play the music. We open the refrigerator, find something to eat, to forget. We read a book. We do anything possible in order to cover up the suffering. But as a practitioner, we should be able to recognize the painful feeling or the painful emotion and try to listen to it and embrace it tenderly, because we can learn a lot from it and we can also reduce this tension and the suffering. So it is like in the domain of the body, you are aware of your body and the tension in it, the pain in it. On the realm of feeling, breathing in, you recognize the painful feeling, the painful emotion that is there. And you say, hello, my little pain, my little anger, my little despair, I know you are there. I will take good care of you. I'm not running away from you. I will take good care of you. It's like a mother working in the kitchen and hear the baby cry. And the mother would put down anything that she is holding and goes into the room of the baby. And the first thing she does is to pick up the baby and to hold the baby tenderly in her two arms. And that is exactly what a practitioner should do when a painful feeling arises. We have to stop doing things. We have to go home and tend our own baby, which is a painful feeling, a painful emotion. Because our pain, our sorrow, our fear is our baby. We have to be there for it. The mother does not know yet what is wrong with the baby. But the fact that she's holding with tenderness the baby in her arm, the baby can get already some relief. The baby will suffer less. Because the energy of tenderness from the mother has already begun to penetrate into the body. Remember when you were small and you had a fever? You are very lonely. You suffer a lot. And when your mother come and put her hand on your forehead, she has not done much to help you. And yet, the presence of her hand on your forehead has brought already some relief. So this is exactly what a practitioner should do. We do not know what is the root of our pain, our sorrow, our fear yet. But our capacity of recognizing our pain and embracing tenderly our pain can already help bring some relief. Don't run away from it. Recognize it and embrace it. The seventh is to recognize, and the eighth is to embrace. Recognize pain. Aware of pain, recognize pain, and embracing. After having hold a baby for a few minutes mindfully, the mother find out what is wrong with the baby. The baby may be hungry. The baby may have a little fever. With mindfulness, the mother recognizes what is wrong with the baby, and she can fix the situation very quickly. So the first thing a practitioner would do is to embrace, to recognize the pain in himself, and then embrace the pain. There are two kinds of energies. The pain, the anger in you is the first energy that manifests. And as you are a practitioner, you don't try to run away from it. You don't try to cover it up. You practice mindful breathing and generate a second energy. It's a source of energy called mindfulness, and you embrace that first energy. Energy number one, energy number two. Practicing mindful walking, you generate mindfulness of walking. Practicing mindful breathing, you generate the energy of mindfulness. And it is exactly with that second energy that you recognize and embrace this energy. This is the mother embracing the baby. And you get a relief after a few minutes of practice. In a sitting position or walking meditation, you continue to practice mindful breathing, and you continue to recognize and embrace the pain, and you get a relief. In Buddhist psychology, we know that there are at least two layers of consciousness. And the base of our consciousness is called a store, alaya vijnana, store consciousness. And in the depth of our store consciousness, there are seeds called bija. Seeds. It's a seed of anger, of fear, of despair, of violence, jealousy, and so on. But there are many good seeds in it. The seed of love, the seed of joy, the seed of brotherhood, sisterhood, the seat of non-discrimination, the seat of mindfulness, the seat of concentration, and so on. And suppose the seat of anger has a chance to manifest up here on this level. And on this level, our consciousness is called mind consciousness. From a seed, it becomes a mental formation. Mental formation. The the seat of anger give rise to the mental formation called anger. It is a kind of energy. And when anger manifests as an energy here, the landscape of the mind is not beautiful anymore. We suffer. And that is why a practitioner would not allow that situation to continue. But she does not try to suppress, to fight against that, because that is violence. Therefore, she invites the seat of mindfulness down here to come up. With the practice of mindful breathing, she invites the seat of mindfulness to come up. And then there is another mental formation called the mental formation of mindfulness. In fact, mindfulness is a mental formation, a good one. This is anger. And mindfulness is an energy, is recognizing and embracing the energy of anger. This is the first step of the practice. And she can get a relief. If she maintains mindfulness longer and concentration become powerful, she can have a look, deep look into the nature of the anger. And that kind of insight can help liberate and transform anger. But that is the object of other exercise that will follow. Here, only the practice is to recognize and to embrace. And as a beginner in the practice, our mindfulness may not be strong enough in order for us to recognize and embrace our pain. That is why it's very helpful to belong to a community of practice. It's called a Sangha. A Sangha is made of several members who knows how to practice mindful breathing, mindful walking, generating a collective energy of mindfulness. So if your mindfulness and concentration is still not strong enough, you might like to come and sit with us and profit from our collective energy. You say, "Dear Sangha, he is my pain, he is my sorrow, he is my anger. It's too big for me to embrace because I'm just a beginner." So you allow the Sangha to transport you, to embrace you. Sitting in the Sangha, you entrust yourself to the Sangha. It's like a drop of water allow herself to be transported by the whole river. Don't stay as a drop of water. Allow yourself to be embraced and transported by the Sangha, by the river. And then the collective energy of mindfulness of Sangha will be able to recognize, to help recognize, embrace your pain, and you feel better and better sitting in the Sangha because you know how to borrow, to allow the collective energy of the Sangha to help recognize and embrace your pain and sorrow. And that is why in the Buddhist tradition, taking refuge in the Sangha is very important. Sanghang saranang gacchami, I go to the Sangha for refuge. Because the Sangha has that collective energy that can help me in the beginning to recognize and embrace my pain. When we practice, we have brothers and sisters in the Dharma. And they can help us, support us in our practice. That is why a good practitioner always seek to build a group of practitioners called Sangha community to maintain the practice, to continue with the practice. Even the Buddha, after enlightenment, he know that a Sangha is needed to help him help people. So the first thing he did after enlightenment is to go and look for members of a Sangha. And the Buddha was a very excellent Sangha builder. In no time at all, he built a Sangha of 1,250 monks, mostly young people. And they began the career of a Buddha. A Buddha without a Sangha cannot do much. And we as a practitioner, we should know that a Sangha is needed in order to maintain our practice strong. The young people who do not know how to handle a painful emotion like despair, anger. And many of them believe that the only way to stop suffering is to go and kill themselves. That is why there are so many young people committing suicide. In Hong Kong, the young people, they jump from a high building to their death. There are many in Japan, young people in Japan, in the United Kingdom, just because the young people do not know how to handle a painful emotion. But in the light of the practice, an emotion is something impermanent. An emotion is something that comes, stay for some time, and will have to go. And you are much more than an emotion. Why do you have to die because of just one emotion? That is why we have to tell the young people. We have to transmit to them the way to handle a strong emotion. And if they know how to handle a strong emotion, they will not have to go and kill themselves. And how? With the practice of mindfulness and concentration. When a strong emotion is about to come, you know. You stop thinking, you stop talking, you stop doing things. You go back to yourself and practice them. Mindful breathing in a seated position or lying position. Don't stay on the level of the head. Don't continue to think. The more you think, the more the emotion can become stronger. The stronger it may become. We should not stay on the level of the intellect. We have to bring our mind down, down to the abdomen. There's a spot a little bit below the navel called the Dan Dien. This is a spot where you have to concentrate. It's like a tree standing in a storm. It's vulnerable to be on the top of the tree. If you go down and embrace the tree, you are safe. And the trunk, our trunk is down here. So when the emotion comes, it is like a storm. You don't think, you don't look, you don't listen. You stop everything. You stop feeding that emotion. You go home, practice generating the energy of mindfulness, and just become aware of your in-breath and out-breath. Breathing in, my abdomen is rising. Breathing out is falling, rising, falling. That's the only object of your mind. No thinking, no looking, no listening. Just become aware of your in-breath and out-breath. Concentrated entirely on the fall and the rise and fall of your abdomen. You may stay in a lying position. You may like to put your hand on your stomach and feel the rising and falling of your abdomen. Just that. And then you can survive the emotion easily. The emotion can stay for 15 minutes or half an hour or even 1 hour. But you are safe with the practice. Because there is awareness that an emotion is only an emotion. An emotion is impermanent. an emotion that is something that comes, stay for some time, and finally have to go. I don't have to die just because of one emotion. And if you have that in mind, mindfulness, and then you are confident enough. And when the emotion is gone, you are happy. You say that next time when it comes, you just do that and stay firm and not blown away, carried away by the emotion. And let us not wait until we have a strong emotion in order to begin the practice, because we will forget. So let us try every day the practice of deep listening, abdomen breathing, belly breathing, deep breathing, and become aware of the rise and fall of abdomen. And after something like 3 weeks, it becomes a habit. And that is enjoyable also. And every time a strong emotion comes, we remember to practice. And we can very easily survive a painful emotion. If you have a child, teach her, teach him. Darling, hold my hand. Shall we practice together? Breathing in, my abdomen is rising. Breathing out, it's falling. Don't think. Just pay attention to, and you channel your energy of mindfulness and stability to your child, because your child may have a crisis also. And you have, as you are a practitioner, you have the energy of mindfulness, of concentration. And holding the hand of your child, you can channel that energy to him or to her and support him or her in breathing. And you educate him or her. And your child will know how to overcome a painful feeling or emotion. Privilege is trying to make this kind of practice available to the young people. We have organized a young movement for young people called Wake Up in every country, and the young people are learning these kind of things. And we begin to train school teachers. This kind of practice, we want to make it in a secular form, having no religious flavor. And we have the conviction that parents and teachers have to master the practice so that they can transmit the practice to their children and their students. And school teachers can transmit the practice to their students. The student in the class. We have already begun training school teachers in Thailand, in Hong Kong, in Vietnam, in Germany. We are training the first groups of school teachers, and we want to talk to ministries of education, so that in teacher schools there will be that kind of training for school teachers, so that they can transmit to their students of every level. In Germany now we are having a course for school teachers. We transmit this kind of practice, how to release the tension in the body, how to generate a feeling of joy, of happiness, how to handle a painful feeling, how to use a loving speech and deep listening to restore communication. These are applied ethics and drawn from Buddhist teaching and practice. And it's possible, entirely possible, to present it as a non-religious, a secular practice. And I'd like to invite Thầy Pháp Ân to come. Pháp Ân is the director of the European Institute of Applied Buddhism. And now we are training school teachers, the first group of school teachers there, and help them to bring the practice to school. And we want to talk to legislators in the National Assembly of each country and propose that they bring this kind of learning and practice to school to help the young people. Thầy Pháp Ân was a scientist. He graduated from MIT, and he now serves as the director of the European Institute of Applied Buddhism. And he will tell us something about his work there. And after this, we will do walking meditation to the exhibition hall with the children.